Triple M's Big Breakfast for Australia's biggest ever bike sale at Team Moto Motorcycles. Save up to $7,000 on over 250 models of bikes. TeamMoto.com.au.
Hello, welcome to the catch up. Thank you for streaming. Make sure you subscribe. Wonderful to have Lawrence Mooney back in the seat and the former PM joined us today, Moon.
Yes, one of our most popular friends of the show, Rich Uncle Mal, dropped by and he couldn't be happier with the Victorian election result. Could not be happier.
We also kept updating you with our lend a hand. We're trying to get little Henry home for Christmas and we had a chat to his stepdad.
Enjoy the catch up. It used to be the national anthem before we spoke to this man when he was the Prime Minister of Australia. Now it's just his ruthless money-grabbing that makes him such a feature. It is Rich Uncle Mal. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Marto. Hello to you, Robin and the Moon Man, and, of course, you, Brendo. I'm not a money-grabber. I've already made my fortune.
Oh, sorry.
You may remember that I invested $500,000 in that little startup, Aussie Mail. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Steve Waugh was the face of it way back in the 90s.
And everyone how much you made.
I sold my $500,000 worth of shares for $57 million.
Oy.
Almost as if you knew something.
Just before the tech bubble burst. Yeah. Just before.
I bet you're so clever.
You are
it's
clever.
Almost like I knew.
Yeah, let's
But
talk.
If you say that, I'll sear you for defamation. Now,
let's talk politics.
Tin tacks.
What did you make of the Victorian election result?
Well, I was very excited, Robin. For me, the takeaway was they love me. The people love me. I know that the Premier of Victoria is talking about roads and rail and hospitals and all that stuff, but it's the Turnbull backlash because people love me. They didn't express it much at the time, but now that I'm gone, people are starting to regret that I've been necked by the chaotic cabal, the usurpers and the insurgents and the extremists in the Liberal Party. So I was very excited. I was watching it, and it was more exciting than the Wentworth result. Oh, I was aroused by that result.
Okay. can I just check something? Now, Scott Morrison, who's our current Prime Minister, if you're unaware, he compared himself to the Labor Victorian Prime Minister. So the guy who won outrageously well is a Labor Premier, and he said that he's similar to him.
That's right. ScoMo had the temerity in the Parliament yesterday to say, well, Daniel Andrews gets things done. He's doing great economic management and he's winning his approval rating. Who else is doing that? Oh, me. So he actually directly compared himself. I mean, there's a couple of differences. One's on the Liberal side, one's on the Labor side. And I don't think Daniel Andrews pooped his ducks in the Engadine McDonald's in 1997.
No one's confirmed that,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, no one has confirmed
that. After the Sharks lost in the Super League Grand Final.
Exactly.
Too much detail around that for it not to be true.
It is a rumour, but it is getting legs.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So what are your plans for Christmas this year? Will you be up
Pardon
the Piper?
Just had a little cough then.
You look like you're laughing.
I was laughing. I cracked myself up. I'm just a normal man. I can't have a laugh. I will be up the Piper. Entertaining my family. Alex and his family will be coming from Singapore. Daisy will be there. It'll be a tremendous time. And I always take great pleasure in organising the menu, Robin. I source foods from everywhere. We won't eat anything that's locally produced. Often I cook a turducken, of course, put the chicken inside the duck inside the turkey.
Do you? That's impressive.
Yeah, but this year we're going to put... going to change it up and put a chicken inside a pheasant inside a turkey.
Okay, well, you don't have to tell us the name of that.
We don't need a pheasant in the turducken. That's what I call an IKEA joke.
You can go away and put it together yourself.
Okay, good. Excellent. Thanks.
Wonderful talking to you, sir. All right, I think I know the pair of you two, Robin and Moon, and I want to run this. I know who you are and your values and morals, etc.
That sounds quite disparaging, does it not?
One's quite high, one's quite low. I'll let you all decide. Listen to this from last night's news. I'll explain a little bit further. But this is a game of what would you do, okay? Take it away, Melissa Downs.
What would you do if you found $10 million? That was the conundrum for one lucky soul who found the cash hidden in a storage unit he bought at auction for a mere $700. But it wasn't long before lawyers for the former owners made contact. The new owner, happy to settle it with a $2 million reward.
All right, everyone clear on those facts?
Yeah.
So it's one of those storage wars. They actually, the auction, that Storage Wars guy, the show on TV, on pay TV, if anyone's unaware.
Foxtel.
they people don't pay for their unit. They don't pay their upfront monthly charge for a unit. And they go, well, bugger you guys, haven't seen them forever. You haven't paid your money. We're auctioning it off.
So these group of people go around to these different storage units, and it's how they make their living. And they get to view the contents of the storage unit. They can't go through
they
it.
They can't go inside. They can stand at the door,
and have a look. And they take a risk. And then they bid, and the highest bidder gets the storage unit.
I don't know. I don't think this one went to TV. So it was just Dan Dotson. That's his name, isn't it? Him and his wife, Pat, whatever her name is, they are the ones who are on TV, but this didn't go to air as far as I know, but there was a safe. So the male and female bought it from the Dotsons, okay, the Storage Wars reality star, looked inside, went, oh, yeah, we'll have that one, $700, thinking, oh, there might be a few rakes or a cupboard I could sell or whatever else. And there was a safe. They went to a locksmith, opened it up, $10 million in cash.
Now, in your new segment, Mardo's Moral Compass, what is the conundrum? What would I do with the 10 mil? I'd keep it.
That's right. You'd carry it, put it straight in the boot of your car, would you?
No, I'd stash it in different places around the house.
Around the house?
And then I would spend it very slowly. That would take care of all fruit and vegetables, grocery shopping, any spending for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's the first thing you think about, fruit and vegetables.
You eat a piece of fruit.
It isn't.
All right. $10 million worth of fruit and vegetables.
Wow, those peaches are going off.
Robin? Oh, no, should I ask you? Well, what
the
happened?
Moon man loves his plums.
I give up.
That's a big breakfast on Triple M.
We love an absurd digression on the big breakfast, and the other morning we're talking about distances from places, and somebody mentioned 5Ks. And whenever 5 kilometres is mentioned, I always think of Craig Mottram, Australia's 5,000 metre.
He was a wonderful runner, wasn't he?
Runner. Yeah. He was a great runner.
Lad.
But he was you know, always surrounded by a bunch of Kenyans and could never really win.
Gee,
I mean, he won
sixth a lot, didn't he?
Yeah, running sixth, the Craig Mottram story. he did win the World Cup. He won gold. So he wasn't always a bridesmaid. But we started talking about sporting bridesmaids. I remember him running in the 2006 Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. And, again, beaten by a Kenyan, Augustine Shoghi. And
where did he come second that day?
He came second.
Wow, that's a big day for Mottram.
It's huge.
He was beaten narrowly by about 3.5 minutes. But
the Kenyan was already in the mess hall having dessert after collecting his medal. But that's okay.
So the discussion then swung around to sporting bridesmaids, because there's a lot out there. Not everyone can be a champion. Many people run second. Many teams never take the big prize.
Are we looking at Mark Webber, or is that who we're looking at? Is Mark Webber, everyone happy with him as a...
Just never quite got there.
Did he won Monte Carlo once, didn't he?
I'm able to overlook that and just call
Did they have to be Australian? Because remember that Michael Phelps, the America's greatest swimmer of all time, 27 gold medals or something.
Yeah.
Remember that guy, Ryan... Lochte, was it Ryan Lochte?
Lochte.
Yeah. Who constantly came second.
And then lost his mind
because he could never get the gold medal because Michael Phelps just kept coming back. I mean, in his own right, if Michael Phelps hadn't existed, he would have been the champion swimmer of the world.
You're going to talk swimming. Go local. Go Glenn Houseman, the Rocky boy.
Oh.
Was he behind Kieran Perkins?
Who was the other one?
Daniel
Kowalski.
He was always behind the piano pusher.
Hackett.
Kowalski was always behind him.
Now, I won't hear a bad word said about Grant Hackett. If you want to use a vest as underpants in a hotel foyer, that's up to you.
I like piano pusher as the descriptor.
I've had a gutful.
What's the question?
Yeah, you've got to tell us your favourite sporting bridesmaid.
Oh, one New of South those Wales champions. Origin.
Mick of Racefew. Who've you got?
Oh, it's got to be Mark Waugh, doesn't it? Second best in his own family.
Yes, good call.
Oh, that's harsh.
I know, it's
true,
so true,
but harsh.
Oh, Junior. He knows how to play.
He struggled in the backyard and he struggled everywhere compared to Big Brother.
Mm. Yeah, that's hard to live in Steve Waugh's shadow.
But I reckon he's had more fun than Steve Waugh. Don't you reckon? Has Mark Waugh had more fun than Steve Waugh? Everyone in agreement?
Yeah, maybe. What about the Walters boys? Who'd be number one?
Sure.
Oh, that's good.
Kev listens to the show, so everyone's like,
hey, Kevy, you're number one.
Yeah, you're number one. No, Kevy. Geez, I tell you what, Boxhead was clever out of... Anyway, let's move on.
Okay, Pete of Chandler. Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Pete, who have you got as the bridesmaid?
Oh, look, I was actually going to add to your comment about Glenn Houseman because I'm sure that I watched him before Perkins became big, become the first swimmer ever to go under 15 minutes for the 1500 metres.
Wow, there's a call.
And there was a problem with the timer. And it didn't count.
Oh. That's right. I remember that. That's true.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's right.
Perkins beat him in every single race after that.
After that.
Yeah.
Glenny Houseman was a little boy from Rocky and he came down and he was a power.
I think that was in Adelaide.
Was that a world record? It would have been a world record then.
He hit the pad and it didn't work.
Sorry, can you go again?
Yeah. Sorry, mate. Have another crack.
Loser.
Oh, good call, Pete. Mick of Brackenridge, who are you going to nominate as the bridesmaid?
Good morning, guys. I've got a good one for Moon Man. I think Louis Ferrigno was runner-up to Arnold Schwarzenegger like 7 years in a row.
Oh.
I believe that is true when they were all working out there in LA when they first discovered steroids.
Now, Mick
used to torment him all the time.
Yep.
Mick, Lou Ferrigno, most people would better know him as?
The Hulk.
The Hulk. Yes. Oh, he was the original Hulk.
Give him his adjective. Yeah. Incredible Hulk.
The incredible. Yeah.
The ordinary Hulk.
Yeah. No one knows the ordinary Hulk. He's just a guy that's green and skinny. But So Mr. Olympia runner-up 7 times. Oh, Lord.
And they were working out in the same gym every day. Mick, I've read Arnie's book.
Oh,
every day
harsh.
They were working out and he was rubbing his nose in it every day.
Oh, poor Ferrigno.
No wonder he turned green and just went nuts.
Went nuts. Jared Belmia, who's your nomination for the sporting bridesmaid?
Who is it? Andy Bickle, the best 12th man.
Oh, yes. Australia's greatest 12th man, Andy Bickle from the Queensland Bulls.
Has that been confirmed? Was he 12th man more than any other player, was he?
Heaps.
Oh, Jesus.
Is that it, Gerald?
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, mate.
Short, sharp to the point.
I reckon this is
Gerald.
It's worse than Andy Bickle. Jesus, when we open that one up, worst Australian bowler of all time, it's not Andy Bickle.
Tony Dodder, mate.
Well, we haven't opened it up, mate.
That's for another day.
What about the bloke who owns all the horses, Simon O'Donnell? He was ordinary.
What? Wow. Poor Simon.
He was an all-rounder on Triple M.
We love an absurd digression on the Big Breakfast, and the other morning we were talking about distances from places and somebody mentioned 5Ks. And whenever 5 kilometres is mentioned, I always think of Craig Mottram.
Fair enough.
Australia's 5,000 metre.
He was a wonderful runner, wasn't he?
Runner. Yeah. He was a great runner.
Lad.
But he was, you know, always surrounded by a bunch of Kenyans and could never really win.
Gee,
I mean, he won
sixth a lot, didn't he?
Yeah, running sixth, the Craig Mottram story. he did win the World Cup. He won gold. So he wasn't always a bridesmaid. But we started talking about sporting bridesmaids. I remember him running in the 2006 Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. And, again, beaten by Kenyan, Augustine Shoghi. And
where did he come second that day?
He came second.
Wow, that's a big day for Mottram.
It's huge.
He was beaten narrowly by about 3.5 minutes. But
yeah. The Kenyan was already in the mess hall having dessert after collecting his medal. But that's okay.
So the discussion then swung around to sporting bridesmaids because there's a lot out there. Not everyone can be a champion. Many people run second. Many teams never take the big prize.
Are we looking at Mark Webber or is that who we're looking at? Is Mark Webber, everyone happy with him as a...
Just never quite got there.
Did he won Monte Carlo once, didn't he?
I'm able to overlook that and just...
Do they have to be Australian? Because remember that Michael Phelps, the America's greatest swimmer of all time, 27 gold medals or something.
Yeah.
Remember that guy, Ryan... Lochte, was it Ryan Lochte?
Lochte.
Yeah. Who constantly came second.
And then lost his mind
because he could never get the gold medal because Michael Phelps just kept coming back. I mean, in his own right, if Michael Phelps hadn't existed, he would have been the champion swimmer of the world.
You're going to talk swimming. Go local. Go Glenn Houseman, the Rocky boy.
Oh.
Was he behind Kieran Perkins?
Who was the other one?
Daniel
Kowalski.
He was always behind the piano pusher.
What? Hackett?
Hackett. Kowalski was always behind him.
Now, I won't hear a bad word said about Grant Hackett. If you want to use a vest as underpants in a hotel foyer, that's up to you.
I like piano pusher as the descriptor.
I've had a gut for
What's the question,
you've got to tell us your favourite sporting bridesmaid.
Oh, one of those South champions. Wales origin.
Mick of Raceview. Who've you got?
Oh, it's got to be Mark Waugh, doesn't it? Second best in his own family.
Yes, good call.
Oh, that's harsh.
No,
it's true, but harsh.
Oh, Junior. He knows how to play.
He struggled in the backyard and he struggled everywhere compared to Big Brother.
Mm. Yeah, that's hard to live in Steve Waugh's shadow.
But I reckon he's had more fun than Steve Waugh. Don't you reckon? Has Mark Waugh had more fun than Steve Waugh? Everyone in agreement?
Yeah, maybe. What about the Walters boys? Who'd be number one?
Sure.
Oh, that's good. They're all on
Kev listens to the show, so everyone's
like,
Kev,
you're number one.
Yeah, you're number one. No, Kevy. Geez, I tell you what, Boxhead was clever out of... Anyway, let's move on.
Okay, Pete of Chandler. Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Pete, who have you got as the bridesmaid?
Oh, look, I was actually going to add to your comment about Glenn Housman because I'm sure that I watched him, before Perkins became big, become the first swimmer ever to go under 15 minutes for the 1,500 metres.
Wow, there's a call.
And there was a problem with the timer. And it didn't count.
Oh. That's right. I remember that. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Perkins beat him in every single race after that.
Glennie Housman was a little boy from Rocky and he came down and he was a power...
I think that was in Adelaide.
Was that world swim? Record? It would have been a world record then.
He hit the pad and it didn't work.
Can you go again?
Yeah, sorry, mate. Have another crack.
Loser.
Oh, good call, Pete. Mick of Brackenridge, who are you going to nominate as the bridesmaid?
Good morning, guys. I got a good one for Moon Man. I think Louis Ferrigno was runner-up to Arnold Schwarzenegger like 7 years in a row.
Oh. I believe that is true when they were all working out there in LA when they first discovered steroids.
Now, Mick
used to torment him all the time.
Yep.
Mick, Lou Ferrigno, most people would better know him as?
The Hulk.
Yes. He was the original Hulk.
Give him his adjective. Yeah. Incredible Hulk.
The incredible. Yeah. And
so, the ordinary Hulk.
Yeah. No one knows the ordinary Hulk. He's just a guy that's green and skinny. But so Mr. Olympia runner-up 7 times. Oh, Lord.
And they were working out in the same gym every day. Mick, I've read Arnie's book.
Oh,
every day
harsh.
They were working out and he was rubbing his nose in it every day.
Oh, poor Ferrigno.
No wonder he turned green and just went nuts.
Went nuts. Jared Belmier, who's your nomination for the sporting bridesmaid?
Yep. Andy Bickle, the best 12th man.
Oh, yes. Australia's greatest 12th man, Andy Bickle from the Queensland Bulls.
Has that been confirmed? Was he 12th man more than any other player, was he?
Heaps.
Oh, Jesus.
Is that it, Gerald?
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, mate.
Short sharp to the point.
I reckon this is
Gerald.
It's worse than Andy Bickle. Jesus, when we open that one up, worst Australian bowler of all time, it's not Andy Bickle.
Tony Dodder, mate.
Well, we haven't opened it up, mate.
That's for another day.
What about the bloke who owns all the horses, Simon O'Donnell?
He was ordinary.
Wow. Poor Simon.
He's an all-rounder on Triple M.
Ibis, what are they called? Give us their name.
Bin chickens.
Oh, bin chickens.
Tip turkeys.
Tip turkeys, revolting. What's that? The
dump
blood
birds.
Thing under their arms. Ugh.
What
well,
they
wings.
Under their arms?
You know when they flap and they've got this, like, it's like it's scar, like it's red.
Oh.
No.
It's really
I'm looking
gross.
At a close-up photo of them now. I've never known.
When they flap their arms, it's like they've just stretched themselves too high and they're bleeding. It's disgraceful.
Oh, God.
They've got a head like a vulture. I wonder if they're a member of the vulture family because they've got that leathery head and they are kind of like...
Indestructible. You know,
yes.
They're a water bird, which is why they normally start at the bay. But we've had a chat before about South Bank got invaded by them. Griffith University did a study last year or earlier this year. 70% of tourists found them an enjoyable bird to have around.
Ugh. What?
They
idiots.
Don't understand because they mustn't have ibis overseas. No, because
they're a dirty bird, aren't they?
They are. Of course they're a dirty bird. They got their beak in a bin all the time. But did you know apparently they started asking the question to the tourists because there were so many of them taking selfies And all the Griffith University students going, they seem to love it. So they did a survey, and the tourists do love them.
I can't believe that there's a hotel chain named after them. I mean, we call them the Bin Chicken. But, you know, if you've ever stayed in...
It's Hotel Ibis.
If you've ever stayed in an Ibis hotel, they like to continue the theme. They don't have cutlery. You've just got to peck the food off the plate.
What are the Ibis hotels named after?
That's incredible.
Anyway. What
they
I
did
saw
start
yesterday.
In France.
Now, Monday, Tuesday, just so everyone's updated, Monday and Tuesday are the biggest days for domestic rubbish at the dump, okay? So yes. You go on a Monday, Tuesday, you know where you put your rubbish into. That is just completely mounted up like 15 metres high and there's machines and then, all right, so it's off. So they're big days for Ibis. Ibis would go, oh, Jesus.
It's a day out.
It's Monday. Is it Tuesday? My God, this would be fabulous. All right, so yesterday at the Nudgee dump, have we got a phone call?
Yeah. Do you want to tell him or do you want to talk
I'll
to Steve?
I'll let him tell him. Oh, well, he might have the same answer. I don't know. But all I want to say is I've been looking and looking, and the people at Nudgee Dump and also any dump that has Ibis will go, I don't want to talk to you on air. I don't want you to know what we do because they've got a method. And I saw
it's the coolest thing ever.
Not a slingshot, though.
No,
slingshots. No. I don't want to talk about them anymore.
Okay.
I don't own any.
Okay, you know, of course you don't. Steve. Of Corongba.
Hey, guys.
Hey, good.
Yeah. Have you seen this at the Nudgee Dump?
Oh, not at the Nudgee, but I've seen it at one of the other ones, just cracking a stock whip. And, I thought it was pretty cool.
That's super cool.
And it clears them out. There's none there.
So it's the sound. It's the crack.
I reckon there's usually 1,000 there at the Nudgee Dump. There wasn't any. They clear out. They didn't hit them, did they, Steve?
No, they don't hit them. It's just a crack of the stock whip and they all clear out.
But do they stay cleared out? No. Or do they come back?
I think they try.
No, they come.
They edge back in.
They edge back in slowly.
It's a good thing, though. Like, imagine that. Job required. Whip cracker at the top.
So, but Steve, why do they want to get rid of them? Obviously, you know,
that's where they
help clear up. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. They don't want them distributing the rubbish, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, disease.
Hey, do you want two interesting facts about ibises, because I've just been Googling them. They live for 28 years.
Oh, wow.
That's a long time for a bird. And if you don't like their bin chicken, go to Tasmania. There are none there.
Have they wiped them out?
They've never made it across the Bass Strait.
Jesus. Right, that's interesting. So they don't like that really cold climate, the bin chick.
They just like a whip.
They like warm
rubbish.
Well,
I'd like to see the cops get whips sometimes instead of tasering. Just, you know, have a whip out.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, I'd like them to go the full sheriff. You know, ankle irons, whip.
Handcuffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, weirdo.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Not my sex life.
Hey, listen, Abu Dhabi Formula One, the last race of the year. Daniel Ricciardo's last race with Red Bull. He now goes to Renault next year. And I only mention that because his teammate for next year is a guy called Nico Hülkenberg. Okay, German Formula One driver. He had a terrible time on the first lap in Abu Dhabi. He failed to continue because his car got hit by Grosjean, flipped over a couple of times. You may have seen it on any of the sports reports in the last few days.
It
did catch fire. He was upside down, caught on the fence.
I saw that.
And the rear end was on fire, okay? I love how calm, and this is the voice that Daniel Ricciardo will be hearing on his radio headphones next year, how calm everyone stays when you're in that situation, okay? This is Hülkenberg talking to the head of Renault Formula One.
Are you okay, Nico?
Holy I'm hanging here like a cow.
Yeah.
Get me out, there's fire.
Yeah.
There's fire.
It's alright, they're coming. Safety car is there with you, Nico.
I'm hanging here like a cow. I think he was alluding to a barbecue.
There's fire.
Yeah, he didn't sound all that cool. He was trying very hard. There's fire. There's fire. Das ist der Blitzkrieger.
They got him out. He was all safe. Yeah. That's all good.
He didn't have a burnt rump.
Oh. Dust is nine a good.
Okay, so let's let him get quick. Play the song louder.
He's the big breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M. Former PM.
Dust is the Kriegen.
Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Lend a hand.
Nathan, what did you think when we first met about 2 weeks ago and we said we could give you a hand getting into the house after you'd already tried?
How are you, mate? Yeah, I was just couldn't believe it. I thought, we'll never get this done. But, it's coming to shape and next week it's going to be all done.
So, Nathan, tell us, how much time had you spent trying to get people to help you?
Oh, a couple of weeks. Yeah, since we bought the house, we were ringing everybody. And, they were just too busy for Christmas. And we sort of thought that. And then, yeah, I just ended up getting us through the radio and just amazing.
Nice. Tell everyone as well, what was the day looking like? Like 6 months you had been taken away, you and Jeannie had been taken away for your lives, your hard-working lives, just sitting around the hospital for 6 months. You probably enjoyed trying to find builders.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the hospital gets to you, all right? Sick of it, we want to get out of there.
Now, Nathan, Henry's only 3 years old. You're his stepdad. How long have you been in Henry's life?
About 12 months probably this year, yeah.
Wow.
And what a tough 12 months it's been. How's he going?
Yeah, he's going good. Yep. He's got to go into surgery tomorrow, though, for a peg in his belly for the feeding because he's not eating enough at the moment.
Oh, God.
They're going to put a peg into his belly, which you feed him through that way, which takes the tube out of his nose.
How's he? He only just started talking again because we were saying because of the paralysis and everything. How is his talking going?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, won't shut up.
I can't. Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's good. So, Nathan, what's this going to mean to your life? The fact that you can get Henry home for Christmas?
Yeah, just amazing. Really is amazing. I can't believe it's happening. Yep, to get him home, it's just going to be beautiful.
Nathan, remind everyone how many people you knew when you came to Brisbane.
Oh, about two.
Yeah, and neither of you.
I've got an uncle down here, that's about it.
And you've got to end up selling, because you're in the family earth moving business up there west of Rocky, so you've had to get out of that. Your old man's, there's a lot of knock-on effects here, aren't there?
Yeah, there is, big time, yep, sure is.
Well, that's... I tell you what, Henry's lucky to have you, Nathan, because you sound pretty positive.
Yep. Yeah, not wrong, mate.
Well, next week we will hopefully be able to do handover to you, Nathan.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible.
last Wednesday we did Smoko shout out there. Nathan, did you get a chance to thank everyone that day or thank most of the boys?
Yeah, the people I went around and thanked. Yeah, met them and went around and thanked them, yeah.
Oh,
all right, good. Well, next Tuesday we're heading out. We're going to do a big show from Henry's house. And we've still got a couple of surprises for Henry too. Can't wait to see his face when he rocks up, Nathan. So we'll see you then, okay?
Okay, mate. Thank you.
Bye.
I was at the shops yesterday. I realised, as school holidays started, I know the grade 12's finished, clearly.
Well, private school kids finish this Friday, if you can get them to school Thursday, Friday.
My daughter's currently on schoolies, Marlo, so I'm just trying to ignore that is even happening.
Now, can I just make a point before we get back to this? Now, she went to school down in Melbourne, and she's down at schoolies. Would it be at the Mornington Peninsula?
No, she's on the west coast at a place called Lawn.
Oh, right, because there were riots. The dog squad and riot police were called in on the Mornington Peninsula, and I thought, hello, there's Moon's daughter at schoolies. It's on.
Oh, well, what would they be doing at school? He's probably sitting down, talking about the future, talking about their feelings.
Planning. Yeah, well, they're
just
all
making sure that there's no boys that are allowed in the house.
Sure.
Or
anyway.
Substances.
Moving on.
All right, what I want to talk about is at the shops yesterday, I saw all these kids, and I've just checked on the internet just then. It is school holidays start on the 15th of December.
I know.
I don't know what all these kids... Anyway, I just noticed it, and then I went... So grade 10 and 11 finished this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Independent and Catholic schools please themselves, and that must have been who all these kids I saw were. Everyone else finishes on the 15th. So it seems that privately schools and Catholic schools will finish on the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
There's kids going to be everywhere. That's where I'm going. Mm. What are parents supposed to do? I can't really remember because I was sort of always available after I finished this job at the end of the day and I could help. I could do stuff. You got both parents working. That's 7 and 8 weeks, nearly 9 weeks. Do you just leave the kids run wild? Because Kath and I were asking ourselves last night, was it 12 when we just said, right, it doesn't matter, kids can look after themselves? And I don't think our kids had mobiles. We had a landline and they were told to ring us if there was a problem. How are people coping with this? How's everyone coping with school holidays going forever?
I was always in the care of my older brothers, so... it was probably 12, my eldest brother.
When you
brother
were 10, they were 12 or 9?
No, I was 7. I was 6 or 7 and my eldest brother was 12.
How do you make out this, Robin? Is that okay?
I'm okay now because I have 14, 16 and 18-year-olds.
You're okay.
But I didn't. I didn't for years and years and years. You pay exorbitant amounts of money. Like, I know that there was a UQ sports camp that my kids did. They ran
score sports camps.
But they're like
so
$300 a week and they run them right over the school holidays except for the 2 weeks of the Christmas period. There's before and after school care. Kids hate it. A lot of kids hate it. Some kids love it.
So let's say your blokes, when they were 8, 10, 12, would you have let the 12-year-old run the ship?
No way. No way.
Really?
No.
What about?
Absolutely not. Have you? Seriously, they kill each other.
12-year-old with a mobile? Oh, they're killing of each other.
No.
Oh, I forgot
my
that
mum,
bit.
My mum went back to work when I was probably about 9, and we were latchkey kids all the way through. Come home from school, let ourselves in, sit in front of the telly, look after ourselves. We were taught how to cook.
There'll be a lot of screen babysitting.
Get a job.
You know what happens when school holidays come, Moon? Every tradesman needs to lock their utes up and yes. and secure their all their money, because that's what kids do during school holidays. They flog off tradesmen.
Change.
Yeah.
So sympathetic to parents during school holidays. What do you do for the next 6 to 8 weeks? Grant, Forest Lake, what did you do?
So we had a farm growing up. So we just got we didn't get made to work on the farm. It was just more finding something to do. So, driving tractors, playing the paddocks or feeding out and stuff like that. So
that'd be kind of fun, though, I reckon.
Yeah,
but you would have broken a fair few things and gone through fences and stuff, Grant, wouldn't you?
Look, I got caught driving when I was 12 years old on the road.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. Just going in for a counter.
We're very happy,
Right, but you're an exception because parent, you can't do that these days in the suburbs, drive your tractor around.
No. Amber of Albany Creek. Morning, Amber.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, good. What have you got to say about this?
I have got a farm myself, so I tend to take my kids up there because mine finished this Friday, the 30th. So I take them, and then I kind of put the offer out to all my friends' parents, all the kids of my friends, and sort of say, I'll take them as well, so I might as well have a heap of kids.
Cheap
so,
labor.
Amber. So you take the kids up the farm, leave them there, and then just come back to the city, do you?
Correct. Yeah. No, well, there's a few 15-year-olds in there, I think. So, as long as they don't touch the bar, they're fine.
Well, that's the problem. That's a modern problem. But can I ask, you make them all work on your farm?
Look, I don't really, but I think I might this time and get them out in the quad. They can pick up all the palm fronds and stuff, so... I've got to cut down the Xbox time, so we tend to take them to the rivers and take them to the dam and just get out and get them away from the TV.
Let me check. When would you leave a kid home on his own?
Well, see, this is the thing. Legally, you're not allowed to leave a child at home under 12 years of age, and they cannot supervise anybody younger than them.
Yeah,
is that true?
Well, I've got that.
That is true.
That's why we haven't got many other callers, because I reckon a lot of people are doing that and don't want to give themselves up.
Well, it says here, right? I've just Googled it. It said the legal age for leaving children home alone. There's no one law in Australia that says at what age you can leave a child home alone. In Queensland, if you leave a child under 12 years of age for an unreasonable time without supervision, you have committed a misdemeanor.
Right.
Oh, well, that's not a major thing.
That's up for interpretation. But
unreasonable time. Yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Your kids are over 13, so it doesn't matter. Otherwise, just buy a farm.
Or park them in the casino car park.
Just kids running wild in
paddocks. Like the old days. It's the big breakfast on Triple M.